Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
Praise band and everyone here tonight. I love the worship atmosphere and the spirit of praise. And didn't these folks do a good job leading us? Let's thank them. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all, really. Keep that attitude of ministry and service and humbleness, and God will use you for a long, long time. You too, Mike. All right? You too now. Yeah, amen. Well, I love this church, and I've kept up with you over the years, and I love your pastor, Calvin Carr, soon to be Dr. Calvin Carr. Amen? Well, don't let him live that down, all right? Make a big deal of it, but then just go right back to calling him Pastor Carr or Brother Calvin, whatever, all right? That doctor stuff can sometimes go way up here. But I'm so proud of him and just glad that he's doing what he's doing and up there in Louisville, and God's going to continue to use him here, and you just keep serving the Lord and doing all that you're doing. You've grown, you're growing, you're reaching people, and to see you in those two Bible study times on Sunday mornings and beginning to get even more crowded. And I'm praying that the space you need will come quickly. I know that I've had a couple of my friends have called about this church. As a matter of fact, they've spent time with Brother Calvin and some of the building committee, I think, about some possible ministries. David Keith, Building Solutions, is a good friend of mine, and he works with churches all over the state, all over the southeast, really, helping them with buildings, everything from simple modulars to very elaborate modulars, which our church, Hibernia Baptist Church, where I go to church in the Green Cove Springs, Middleburg, Orange Park area down there, is pretty much all modular. It's pretty amazing how we've done all of our education space that way, and you walk into those rooms, and you'd think you were, you know, not in what used to be the old cheap modulars. They're very, very nice now, all the way to tilt-up walls. So I don't know what God's going to do here on this piece of property, but there's a lot ahead of you. And whether you're college age, young adult, senior adult, children, just keep serving the Lord, bragging on Jesus, and he's going to keep on blessing you. I thank you for your hospitality today, Brother Mike and others that we went out to lunch with. It was a fun time, and just getting to know a little bit more about you and this church and this sound crew back here and all these special tech folks. Let's thank them for the work they do every Sunday, in and out, through the week. And with VBS coming up, no telling what all they're going to be involved in. And matter of fact, your VBS is going to be incredible. I love that every year. I love going to churches and watching what they do with the children and all the youth camps that are coming on, and I know y'all are getting ready to go to a youth camp. We're real big in Super Summers through the Florida Baptist Convention, and we've got nearly 700 students already signed up for Super Summer this year, and some of you might have been a part of Super Summer growing up over the years. Matter of fact, Brother Zach was talking about this little sticker. These stickers go way back to the Jesus movement, a lot further than 12 years. Zach, where'd Zach go? Zach, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? A lot further. Back in the Jesus movement, I was about 16 when God began to really move in the United States. I mean, God put his finger down on a college campus in Asbury College. It was a Methodist campus up north of Tennessee, up in Kentucky. And since it was so close to my hometown, Tiptonville, Tennessee, we got very involved with a lot of those students that had a spiritual experience. I mean, God came down in a chapel program, a Vesper program one night, and those students got on fire for Jesus. And the Methodist campus, believe it, on a Methodist campus. Why didn't he start on a Baptist campus or something, you know, but start on a Methodist campus? And they started praying one night there at the altar, and some of the students started confessing their sins. And lo and behold, it went from a 7 to 8 o'clock, and then 8 to 9, and 9 to 11, and 11 to 12, and so forth. And by about midnight, they were wanting to turn the lights off, and the custodial guy came in, and he couldn't believe what was going on. Some of those students had so been in touch with God, and God had so touched their life. This was back in 1969, I believe it was, or 68 or 69. So touched their lives, that janitor walked in and wanted to shut everything down, but saw that God was moving and didn't, and he broke down, and he came to the altar, and some of the students got up and went and called some of the professors that they knew, and the professors in the middle of the morning, 1 and 2 and 3 in the morning, started coming to that chapel, and before you know it, when day broke, the chapel was nearly full of students because they'd gone back to their dorm rooms, they'd gone back to their friends, and they'd said, come, you've got to be a part of this, and as I'm talking about it right now, I've got chill bumps. It was incredible what happened. Through the day, it continued. They called off classes. How many of you in college right now? Hold your hand up. Amen. All right. Well, just to get a spiritual experience going, they might call off college classes. Amen. And if there's any campuses in the country that need a revival, it would be one that's very, very, or two that's very, very, or three. Maybe it's very, very close to here. And I tell you what, God began to move on that college campus. Professors began to break down. Confession began to happen. And by the end of the week, television cameras from all over the United States had showed up. And ABC, NBC, CBS, that's all there was back then, you know. And they brought their cameras in, started interviewing these students, and put it up on national television. And by the end of the next week, churches all over the United States were calling that campus saying, we want some of your students to come and tell us what happened. Come and tell us what's going on in their hearts. And so these students began to branch out all over the country. We had them on to the campuses and the small churches there in West Tennessee. And Union University is where I went to college, and that was some 2 years after that whole event started. God reached down and pushed my own button, and I got excited about Jesus. I got turned on to Jesus. I was saved at age 9, but from 9 to about 17, I just kind of, you know, kind of went to church and did my thing, carried my Bible, and I was a good young man. I didn't do a lot of ungodly stuff, but I was still, you know, just not really on fire for the Lord. And boy, by the time I got to college, I just really got fanatically, radically turned on to Jesus. And man, we started going all over West Tennessee testifying, and we were standing up in pulpits as young people sharing what God was doing in our life. And then God called me to preach, and I met my wife, Kathy, and we started doing revivals and different things. Never dreamed I'd be a preacher or a pastor, or especially doing what I'm doing today. Just excited about bragging on Jesus. And you don't have to be a preacher or a pastor to do that. Lay people do that, because I was just a lay person, man. I was just a plain old young man, ready, fired up to brag on Jesus. And he started sending me all over West Tennessee, and then God began to open more and more doors. And you know, that's what God wants in your life. He wants you to be radically excited about him. We need another touch from God like that. This time tomorrow night, I'll be in Toccoa, Georgia at a youth camp. Over 750 students will be there. A lot of adults will be there. I'll be teaching adults during the day, speaking to students at night. And I'm praying, and I pray every time I do one of these youth camps or youth get-togethers like that, that I say, God, I pray that you will choose this night to take your finger and reach down and touch a group of students that are ready to be on fire for you, sold out for you. Because, listen, every major awakening in the United States has started with young people. Do you know that? The young people have been the ones that God has used to catapult spiritual awakenings. Way back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, we don't hear about that. We always hear about the group of men that got together and started praying, but it started with students just like you, teenagers, young people. God just desires to do that. Look at all the youth and all the young people used in the Bible. Look at David. I mean, just a little old shepherd boy. Look what happened there, you know. I mean, it's just wonderful to see that. So I'm praying. I pray for students. You know, I pray for young people to swallow their pride and get out of this high-minded, you know, and all this rebellious type of attitude, it seems, that even a lot of Christian students have today. And I'm so glad to see you all here tonight, to see young people out. And I'm glad to see all you old people here, too. You know, tonight I want to talk to you about some multiple entry points into sharing your faith. There are a lot of ways to share your faith. You got VBS coming up. Thrilled about VBS. Hope you're involved in that. Matter of fact, I've got a couple of things here. How many of you brought your Bibles tonight, by the way? Hold your Bibles up. Hold your Bibles up. Everybody got your Bibles? Hold your Bibles up. Hold them up. Up, 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 up. Hold them up. Hold them up. Good, good. Look at all the Bibles. Praise the Lord. Man, I go to some churches and just a few Bibles go up. You know, we've got so used to reading it on the big screen, we just think we don't have to bring our Bibles anymore. Listen, you always bring your Bible. Matter of fact, I was at a church, and there were so few people bringing their Bibles to church. I asked the pastor, I said, Pastor, it was a revival. I said, and this was on Monday night because I saw it happen all day Sunday. I said, tonight, don't put the words up on the screen. I said, all rest this week, don't put the words on the screen. Let's challenge your people to bring their Bibles. And he looked at me like a goat looking at a new gate or something. You know, he didn't know what I was talking about, because he, even as a pastor, was so used to just reading it on the screen. Listen, this is God's Word, and we need to read it and apply it and understand it and love it and write in it and take notes in it. Someone this morning was looking at my Bible, and they just couldn't believe all the notes and lines and different colors and things. I've worn my Bible out. And I'm glad. I'm glad I wore my Bible out, you know. If I didn't wear my Bible out, God may wear me out, you know, because we're to get into the book, and we're to get the book into us. But to a lost person, this old book right here is just a bunch of blank pages. Nothing to it. See this one right here? Just blank. Nothing at all. People look at us carry our Bibles, and they laugh at us, and they say, "What in the world are you doing carrying that old book around with you?" And I can remember in high school when they allowed us to read the Bible and allowed us to take the Bible, and we prayed in class, and we actually said the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, and I think they've about stopped doing that in a lot of our schools, you know. It's just pitiful what's happening. So we as Christians have got to get alert to what's happening. As workers in the employee or in the place of work, your employees, or if you're an employer or whatever, have your Bible with you. Take your Bible to work. Take it to school. Let it be the top book on every book you have. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are. If you love Jesus, take your Bible with you. When you have a break, when you have a lunch break or whatever, take your Bible out and read it for a little devotion time there and let folks see you reading the Bible. I don't read it so they'll see you reading, but read it to grow and get charged up for the rest of the day, you know. Don't be ashamed of the Word. You never know when somebody may need you to share the Word with them in a word of encouragement. But the more a person hears about Jesus, the more you witness. And this church is real good about witnessing, and I know that you do a lot of witnessing, and you have some outreach training and all going on, and as years go by and all, you'll do more and more of that. But a lot of people are beginning to hear the gospel through Christian music, through Christian movies. You know, your fireproof emphasis you got going on right now is awesome. People may pick up a gospel track somewhere, and that's good, and we want them to read gospel tracks. A lot of people are going to businesses now, and Christian music will be playing in businesses. You know, every time I was in a it was either Kentucky Fried Chicken or a Taco Bell, something the other day, and there was Christian music being played. I mean, a secular place like that. You know, I expect it sometime in Chick-fil-A. You go into Chick-fil-A a lot of times, they got Christian music playing and all. But, man, this was just a secular place. I always will find the manager, and I'll thank them for the music that's playing. Do that. When you hear Christian music in a place of business, I was in a Penny's one day and heard Christian music being played. I couldn't believe it, you know, Penny's. I always find somebody in authority and say, thank you for doing that. Because I guarantee you, some wally-gagged, cross-eyed, crazy person is going to come in there and they're going to fuss and complain about it, you know, about this Jesus music that's being played. And if they don't take it off, they'll sue them. And lo and behold, ACLU will get a hold of it and try to do it. So you as believers encourage places of business when you hear Christian music going on. When you see a place of business that's advertising a revival or a special concert or something, thank them for putting that up, because the old world doesn't like that. Listen, we have got to overdo it. We can't just halfway do it. We got to overdo our life for Jesus. But the more lost person hears the scripture, maybe someone has come by their home and left a gospel track. Maybe you've knocked on their door and done a blitz in some area, and they've heard a little bit of the gospel through your testimony. They'll begin to look at you. Maybe they've watched your life and how your life has worked its way through a death in your family, maybe, or maybe hardships of losing a job, and your employees or employers around you, they've watched you and they've seen how you respond and how you've handled it and how you haven't let it control you, and you've been strong through this, and the death of a dad or death of a child or something. They've watched the strength that you have, and they go, you know, there's something to this Jesus stuff. There's something to this Christianity stuff that I know he has, and I wonder what it is. And so the more a lost person hears the Word and watches you, they go, you know, there might be something to that Bible. And so they begin to read it, maybe, and it's just a bunch of blank pages with black ink on it, you know, just black and white stories there. And there are some stories there, and they begin to go, you know, there might be something to that Bible after all. But there's no color, there's no reality, there's no real hope, there's no closure to it. And so they still haven't met Christ. There's no real color there, but yet they read that Bible and they go, you know, there might be something to this Christ stuff. And the more they see you, the more God plants in them the desire to know him. And then after a person receives Christ, just like this morning, we had three that came public. It wasn't that awesome to see those three men or two men and a young fella, Wesley, come to know Jesus this morning publicly. And then we had at least two other hands that went up. A young person and a gentleman that didn't come publicly, but I want you to pray for them that if they're here tonight or when they come next, they'll make it public here. We had at least five that publicly raised their hand or came forward this morning trusting Christ. You see, when a person trusts Christ, all of a sudden the Bible becomes alive and full of color. Look, it changes. It's no longer a blank book. I mean, it's no longer a book of black and white stories, but it's a book full of hope and color and reality and realness. And when you got saved, your Bible changed. Some of you are looking at me going, how'd you do that? Hey, do we have our vacation Bible school leaders in here? Who's our vacation Bible school leaders? Are you talking about that? Is that person here? Who kind of does that? Kind of some leadership there. Hey, I want to give you these two Bibles, all right? And you can use these in VBS, all right? And sir, you couldn't do it, but your wife could do it, I'm sure, okay? Okay. Thank you. I enjoyed lunch today with y'all, by the way. The illustration's in there. It's pretty cool how that works. It's just a little optical illusion. But I love bragging on Jesus to children, to adults, to young people, to senior adults, whatever it might be. When God impresses you to speak to someone or somewhere or another have a Christian influence on that person, maybe by just telling them God loves them or, hey, I want to pray for you, man, just take that as being God prompting your heart. I've sat in a lot of classes before, and God would prompt my heart to pray for the professor or the teacher. And I can remember when I was first kind of getting turned on to this Jesus stuff, how I was just praying for everybody. Prayer just became a vital part of my life. I mean, I just catch myself praying for people. I drive down the highway, you just start praying for people. And I do to this day. Just pray, 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 pray. I wear a little red dot on my watch. This little red dot reminds me of the blood of Jesus. That red dot symbolizes just a drop of blood of Jesus. Just a symbolic reminder to me. I've got it on my watch. Matter of fact, I've got some over here on this side. I've got some right here. They're on a little red square, and on that red square, you can just kind of bend it, and it'll pop, and there'll be two little red round stickers that'll pop off, right? And you put them on your watch. Some people put them on their glasses, believe it or not. So cool. Really cool. I've got one on my driver's license. You know, you show your driver's license a lot. Every time you use your credit card, they'll say, Mr. Burton, can I see your driver's license? I'll say, sure, and I'll pull my driver's license out, and it's got a red dot right there by the number close to my picture. And oftentimes they'll say, what's that red dot for? And I go, I'm glad you ask. You know, and I'll call the person by name because they've always got a name badge on. And when you're sharing with people, always call them by name. You know, every type of service out there, whether it's a restaurant service or at the bank or a drive-in window at a McDonald's, they've all got a name tag on. I always call people by name. And I looked at that gentleman. I remember I was getting my driver's license renewed. And he said, what's this red dot for, Mr. Burton? And I said, boy, and maybe it was Johnny. Or I said, Johnny, I'm glad you asked. That red dot reminds me of Jesus and his shed blood on the cross. And I said, Johnny, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Do you? Now, that's all I said. I mean, I was in line, and he asked me the question. You see, when they ask the question and open the door, man, walk right through it. Amen? Don't be zip-lipped. He said, what's that red dot for? And I said, boy, Johnny, I'm glad you asked. I was in a Wendy's one day. Oh, this is one of the coolest things. This was years ago, but I love it because it's just so real the way it happened. And it's happened over and over and over, but that first impression meant a lot to me. It was in Jacksonville. It was around lunchtime, and it was about 2 o'clock or so, and I hadn't witnessed anybody. As a matter of fact, I wear my red dot at 2 o'clock. I am committed to find somebody by 2 o'clock every day to share Christ with. I'm going to do that. Not because I'm a preacher, just because I'm in love with the Lord. And I want to do my best to share him with somebody. Listen, there are young people and students and children and adults and grandparents wearing red dots on their watches. You put yours at 12 or in the center, wherever you want. But before you leave tonight, here and in the back, on the back coffee area back there, there's some of these little red dots. Get one and put it there. But it was almost 2 o'clock, hadn't eaten. I walked into the Wendy's. I wasn't really thinking about witnessing. I didn't have my Bible with me or anything. I walked into that Wendy's and walked up to the counter. You know, there was already people in front of me, and they were standing over here getting ready to order, and there was a group behind me over here getting ready. And I was ordering, and she told me how much it was, you know, $7.95, whatever, and I reached in my pocket. And when I did, she saw the red dot. I've had it happen with pens and stickers, the same principle with the little pens and stickers. And so she said, sir, what's that little dot for on your watch? Now, there are people here getting ready to order. There are people over here that already ordered, and here's Becky. Her name was Becky. She said, sir, what's that red dot on your watch? And I was giving her my money, and I said, well, Becky, I said, that red dot reminds me of Christ and what he did for me, and I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. Do you? And Becky looked at me, and people heard this right here. They heard me talking about Jesus. These people heard me talking about Jesus. People back there dipping the fries and flipping the burgers and pumping the Cokes and all that, they heard me talking about Jesus. See, she asked me. So I just walked right through the door. Are you with me? She said, what's that red dot mean to you? And I said, well, let me tell you, that red dot reminds me of Jesus. And I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. Do you? And she looked at me and she said, no, sir, I don't know where I'm going when I die. Right there in Wendy's. Now, see, God's Holy Spirit had already gone ahead of me. And by the way, every place you go to tonight, when you leave or not, and you go home or head home to get gas somewhere, when you pay for your gas And if you go to a window there, God's already gone ahead of you. What are you going to do? How are you going to plant Jesus in that person's life? When you go by the grocery store and get some milk and bread tonight or something and you get ready to check out, God's already gone ahead of you. He's worked on that lady there or that gentleman there or maybe that young man bagging the groceries. He's already gone ahead of you. How are you going to plant Jesus in their life before you leave? And so she said, I don't know where I'm going when I die. And God just put the words in my mouth very, very quickly. And Luke 12:12 says that. I want you to say Luke 12:12 aloud. Say Luke 12:12. Turn to a neighbor and say Luke 12:12. Turn to somebody else and say it a little louder. Luke 12:12. Luke 12:12 says that God the Holy Spirit, at that very moment, that very hour, some translations will say, will put the words in your mouth that you're to speak. In other words, God's Spirit will put in your heart and in your mouth the words you're to communicate and talk to about the individuals wherever you are. I didn't go in planned or prepared with anything. I didn't go in with my big old Bible, you know, just waiting for the girl behind the desk there to say something to me. It's so cool. Becky could have said, sir, what's that? What's that red dot on your watch? And I could have gone, Becky, I'm glad you asked. Everybody in here, listen, hush up, be quiet. Becky has asked me what my red dot means. Sir, put that burger down right now and listen to me. I'm going to tell you what this red dot means. And boy, I could have just gone all over that place and got attention, you know. And all she just said, what's that red dot? And I said, Becky, that red dot reminds me of Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. Sometimes I'll say that red dot reminds me of the blood of Jesus he shed on the cross. Sometimes I'll say that red dot reminds me of what Christ has done for me in eternity. You know, it's just always different. There's nothing just canned answer. Just Luke 12:12, God just kind of puts things on your heart to share. And he'll do that with every single one of you that know Jesus tonight. If you don't know Jesus tonight, you're going to struggle with it, all right? But if you know Christ, he'll put it on your heart. He's already gone ahead of me. He had already gone ahead of me. He'd prepared Becky. I wasn't even thinking about spiritual things. I walked in there. I was hungry. I wanted a burger and a fries and a biggie size fries, you know, and all that good stuff. And I just walked right through that door. She said, no, sir, I don't know where I'm going when I die. You know what I did? I reached in my pocket. I've always got gospel tracts on me. Always got gospel tracts on me. Got them in my car, so whenever I'm running out, I'm always refilling my pockets. Every drive-through window I go through, I'm leaving gospel tracts, you know. I'm giving them the money, but giving them a gospel tract. I'm taking my bag of food, but I'm giving them a gospel tract. Everywhere you go, leave gospel tracts. I reached in my pocket, and I said, Becky, I said, I want to give you something today. And she was giving me my change back. You know, it wasn't like I was taking 30 minutes of her time. I wasn't making anybody mad. She had asked me the question, and I had just walked right through that door. And you can do the same thing. I tell you, every Wendy's, every McDonald's, every Taco Bell, every Sonny's, everywhere you are. Today we were at Sonny's, and Patricia was waiting on us. And normally when Patricia's bring the food and they put all the food down there, I'll look up and I'll say, Patricia, we're getting ready to ask a blessing and pray. Is there anything we can pray about in your life? But today she brought a couple of our meals and still had some to go, and so she went back, and it was taking a little while, and so we went ahead and prayed first, and then when she came back, she had everybody's food there. But before we left, I found Patricia. I said, Patricia, thank you for serving us today, and man, I'm going to be praying for you, and I want to give you something. Just like I did Becky that day, I leaned across, and I said, Becky, I said, take this little card right here and put it in your pocket there and read it before you go to bed tonight. It'll bless your heart. And I said, it says life and death. I handed it to her. She said, I'll do that, sir. She put it in her pocket. I said, thank you. I'm going to be praying for you, Becky. And I stepped to the side, just normal timing, just in my conversation. I wasn't going to get her fired. I wasn't going to sit there and talk about Jesus for 20 minutes and get her fired. And do you be sensitive to the people you witness to? But what are you going to do? How are you going to plant Jesus in every face and every opportunity you have tomorrow or tonight? Or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday. See, God's going to use you students to find Becky's out there, or Patricia's out there, or Billy's out there. There are people everywhere that need to hear the gospel, and all of us need to be doing that. You can't just depend on Calvin Carr or Zach or Mike or some of your deacons. You can't depend on just them to do all of Gainesville. Are you with me? They're not all over Gainesville, but you know who is? You folks. As you go to eat, as you go to get your hair done, as you go to the grocery stores, as you go to the banks, as you go off to the schools, as you buy gas, you are all over this city, all over this county. Tomorrow I'll be all over Georgia, and I will make a lot of stops going up. And everywhere I go in, I guarantee you I'm going to be sharing a track or telling somebody Jesus loves them. I'm going to know that God's Holy Spirit has gone ahead of me. He's prepared those people to hear the gospel. So all of us have that responsibility. We've got to do it. You don't pay Calvin Carr to do that. You don't pay Calvin Carr to witness to everybody in town. No, he's going to do it. He's going to witness to everybody. God gives him opportunity. You know what you pay Calvin Carr to do? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what Scripture says he's to do, is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. You will be all over the place. This gentleman right here will be in different places that this lady will never be, and this one will never be. He will be in places you won't be. You'll be over there in High Springs or somewhere on the other side of the world, and you'll be seeing folks that this lady will never see. But you'll be seeing ladies that probably she won't be seeing. And you'll go to a beauty parlor that probably this young lady doesn't go to. So you can't expect her to share with your beautician. Who's supposed to share with your beautician? You are. And then you're to share with your beautician. Sir, I hope you don't go to a beautician, but when you go to a barber, you share with your barber. That gentleman back there probably doesn't ever go to a barber. So see, we've all, this one doesn't go to many barbers, I bet, either. My son looks just like that. From the back, you look just like my son, Josh. I'll not be in your classes when they kick off in the summertime or next fall. I won't ever meet one of your professors, probably. Never. Never, 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 never. But you will. And how are you going to plant Jesus into those lives? Well, Brother David, you just can't do that on the campus. Yes, you can. And on the secondary campuses, oh my goodness, there's such freedom in junior high and high school. Man, you can wear Christian t-shirts. Just wear Christian t-shirts with Jesus plastered all over them, and you're a walking billboard for Jesus, you know. You pass out gospel tracts. Students can get into the conversation. Students can do reports on Jesus. One young person last year, somewhere up in Tallahassee, I forgot, was doing an oral report, and they could choose any topic they want, and their report was how to have a full and meaningful life in Jesus. Amen? Got it before the whole class and shared Jesus. Teacher couldn't do a thing about it. Man, it's just there. It's just, this sticker, everywhere you go tonight, people are going to see that little sticker. They're going to wonder, where have you been? You know, what's going on? You may see them looking at it a little strange, say, oh, this just reminds me of what Jesus has done for me. And I'm a radical, fanatical Christian, and I go to North Central Baptist Church, you know, invite them, whatever you want to say. Tell them what's going on here at the church. Say, man, listen, we got VBS coming up. You got children? Man, starting next week or whenever, you know, we want your children to come. It's a great week to you be planning and opening a conversation up with people about VBS especially. Stickers, red dots, tracks. You know, talking about these tracks right here, they really are an incredible track. And I've got some up here and some at the back door and some over here. But everywhere you go, leave tracks in your tracks. Everywhere. I mean, every business you go into tomorrow, leave a gospel tract behind. As you give them the $10, put a gospel tract there. They'll give you some change back. As you go through the McDonald's drive-thru, man, I love going through the drive-thrus because it's a captive audience. That girl's going to open that first window, and she's going to tell you how much you owe her or that guy. And so they're going to tell me that, and I'm going to pay them. But as I pay them, I'll say, listen, I want you to know Jesus loves you. Here, take this little card right here, and let it bless you today. Let it be an encouragement to you. A lot of times I'll hand them more than one, you know, if I see somebody in the back. Here, give that person back there one. I've never had anybody cuss me out the window. Everybody's always, hey, cool, look at that. And they start looking at it because it's a very unique track. You read it one way, it says the wages of sin is death. You just spin it over, and it says life. The gift of God's eternal life. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Life, death, life, death, life, death. And on the back's got the Roman road, just a simple Roman road and how a person can pray and ask Jesus into the heart. Got a phone number on there for people to call if they need spiritual help. Somebody there 24 hours a day out of the North American Mission Board, just one of the ministries that we work with. So it's amazing. You know, I just love them. I just love them. Here, take a few tracks here. Take those and pass those down. Would you take those down and pass them down? Quick, pass those down. No, we are going too slow here. Let me help y'all. Have a gospel track, all right? Here, have a gospel track, all right? Have some tracks. Hey, turn to your neighbor and say, leave tracks in your tracks. Turn to them. Leave tracks in your tracks. Have some. See, these are T-R-A-C-T-S's in your T-R-A-C-K-S's. Oh, sound booth, I am so sorry. I forgot about you folks. There you go. Have some right there, all right? So take a track. It doesn't have to be this track. It can be any track. And leave tracks in your tracks everywhere you go. And be great for you to have a track that has North Central on there, so as people read it, they'll know North Central and give you a phone number or a website address or something. And this is kind of funny. Now, don't anybody move, but I want you to look at something. This brother right here has no idea there is a track that's landed on his shoulder. Look right there. Is that not cool? There it lies, right there on his shoulder. I was in a Sunday school class a few weeks ago, and I was throwing them, and they got stuck up in the ceiling, man. It was awesome. I was in another church that had the round lights that hung down, you know, kind of bowl shape. I was throwing the tracks, and paper was falling in there. You just leave tracks everywhere you go. Red dots, stickers, tracks. You know, you may be out there, and you may not have a track. What are you going to do if you don't have a gospel track? What are you going to do if you don't have your marked New Testament? How are you going to share Christ? Well, I've got my testimony, and that's good, and I hope you do have a Christian testimony. If you're saved, you have a testimony. Your testimony is just telling someone what Jesus has done for you. You can do it 30 seconds or 30 minutes, however long it takes, you know, however long you've got. But I always like to share this. This is so cool. I call it hand-to-hand evangelism. Hold your hand up. Would you hold your hand up? Look at your hand and say, hi, hand. Say, I'm glad you came tonight, hand. Your hand is always with you. Now watch this. I'm just going to do this real quickly. I'm going to do about a 90-second rendition of hand-to-hand, and you can stretch this out into 20, 25 minutes. I mean, some of you have the gift of gab. I can tell by looking at you. You could just talk about a bunch of these. But let me just show you real simply how you can use your hand. Of all the methods and tools that I use in sharing Christ, I use my hand. Now, sometimes I'll literally hold my hand out in front of folks and kind of point to my fingers. I was in a nursing home, and I remember taking the little lady's hand, and I got down on my knees in front of her. I said, may I use your hand to share with you the good news I'm talking about? She said, yes, and she held her little hand out, and I pointed to her fingers as I went through it. She prayed and asked Jesus into her heart, amen. I've done it with waiters and waitresses right there as they stood right there. I've had waiters and waitresses pray and ask Christ to come in their heart, amen. Doesn't happen real often, but it'll happen. The more you share, the more we'll believe. Most of the people you talk to about Christ will not be saved. Now, don't get all upset when you witness to folks and they're not saved. Say, well, that's just not my thing. You know, you go to two homes and you share Christ, and, well, they just didn't get saved. That's just not my thing, preacher. Hey, listen, on the average, it's about 1 out of every 10 people that hear a gospel presentation will ask Jesus in their heart. So that means 9 people are going to say no. Jesus had that same experience. Remember, Jesus didn't have the whole herd of folks following him either. Most people denied him. Are you with me? And all the way up to the cross, they were denying him. So don't think they're going to receive you and accept you. No. And by the way, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. Are you with me? You college students have a tough time on the campus. You have no support. When I was growing up, we had a little bit of support on the college campuses, but today you just don't have much support. Let me tell you, you got Jesus on your side. And when you hear them laugh at you or ridicule you or lambast you or threaten you, even as professors somewhere now threatening you for the Christian t-shirts or for the prayer you're praying before a test or something, whatever, let me tell you just stand tall because God is using you, and God's using you at work, and God's using you in your neighborhoods, and God's using you where you get your hair cut and where you shop. But I love my hand. You see, God has a purpose for all of us. He wants us to go to heaven when we die. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants all of us to go to heaven. He has a purpose. You can use John 3:16 there. That's a good verse, you know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God has purpose for us. And I'll look at, let's say Becky again. Let's say Becky, have more time with another Becky maybe. And I say, Becky, God loves you and has a purpose for you. But there's one problem, Becky. And that one problem is sin. The Bible says sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from the purpose he has for us. Sin separates us from going to heaven when we die. But 2,000 years ago, 3 men died on crosses. Jesus died on the center cross, shed his blood for the sins of those 2 men, and for me and for you, Becky. The Bible says one of those men looked at Jesus and ridiculed Jesus, denied Jesus, laughed at Jesus, cussed at Jesus, and he's burning in hell today. But the other one said, Jesus, I believe you who you say you are. I believe you are the Son of God. He said, Jesus, I want to go to heaven. And Jesus looked at him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That man made a commitment to Jesus. You see, he made a commitment to Jesus for what Jesus did on the cross when he died on the cross and shed his blood to forgive his sins that he might go to heaven. that commitment. My ring finger reminds me of the commitment when Kathy and I got married. She made a commitment to me. I made a commitment to her. I sold out to her. She sold out to me. I gave my all to her, and to this day I do, and she to me. We made a commitment to one another. You have to make a commitment to Jesus, just like those gentlemen did here and others did praying around this morning. They made a commitment to Jesus. They committed their lives to Jesus. They said, Jesus, here I am. Take my life. I want to serve you. They made a commitment. It might be somebody tonight in just a few moments willing to make that commitment. Maybe someone here who's been a church member a long, long time, but tonight you'll swallow your pride and realize I've never really ever made a commitment to Jesus. I've joined the church. I've been baptized. I'm a pretty good person. I give money to the church. I read my Bible every now and then. I'm good to my kids. But I've never really made a commitment to Jesus to forgive my sins so I can go to heaven when I die. Because you see, tonight, if you've never made that commitment, and if you died of a massive heart attack like Ben Wilkes did some 48 hours ago, one of my dearest friends from college, they buried him this afternoon at 3 o'clock in Union City, Tennessee. But thank God he knew Jesus. Died young, died early. But he's in heaven right now because he made a commitment one day. But what if he'd have played games? What if he'd have faked it and died today unexpectedly? He'd have been in hell burning right now. But you do it by faith. And I would look at that Becky and I'd call her by name, just as you call anybody by name, you know, as often as you can, because that keeps their attention. I'd say, Becky, the Bible says by faith. My little finger reminds me of faith. Just a little step of faith. By faith, Becky, you have to make a commitment to Jesus and what he did on the cross when he shed his blood to forgive your sins, that you might go to heaven when you die. And Becky, right here tonight in your home or at this place of business or right here at this lunch table or out here on the park bench, wherever you might be, Becky, right now, if you'll trust Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says, Becky, he'll put you in the palm of his hand. Boy, look at Becky eyeball to eyeball and love her in Jesus' name as you've already done through this whole presentation. Say, Becky, Jesus loves you. And if you'll pray that prayer and ask him into your heart, he says he'll place you in the palm of his hand. And he'll cover you, he'll protect you, he'll seal you forever and ever and ever. You'll always be safe. You'll always have your sins forgiven. You'll know of eternal life. And the Bible says, Becky, that nothing can pluck you out of the hand of God. Once you're there, Becky, once you make that commitment, in just a minute, if you'll do it, if you'll make that commitment, he'll place you in his hand. The Bible says nothing can pluck you out of the hand of God, Becky. Not even the devil himself can pluck you out of the hand of God. Would you like to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart today and forgive your sins? And I couldn't tell you how many Beckys I've had to say yes. I've had a lot to say no, not now, it's not time. And I go, that's okay, because I've done what God asked me to do. I have shared the gospel. It's up to God to convict and convince and save a person, not David Burton. And I've had a lot more people to say no than to say yes. And I wonder tonight, how is it in your life? Have you really ever made that commitment by faith to trust Jesus? If you hadn't, I want you to do it tonight. Because you can't walk out of those doors or the doors off to the side and be at peace if you hadn't done it. Because you'll walk out of here and you'll be troubled in your heart. So tonight, if you've never made that commitment, swallow your pride like my wife did at 33. Like that 83-year-old man did in Memphis I mentioned this morning. Just like these men did today. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's a fireman and been in the service and others, and then as a child, as little Wesley came, and then these others that raise their hands. Swallow your pride and say, I want Jesus as my Savior. And you can do that in just a minute. But you're already a saved person, let's say. Would you make a fresh commitment tonight to brag on Jesus? Would you make a fresh commitment tonight to walk out of these doors saying, okay, God, I know that you go ahead of me. And wherever I am tonight and tomorrow and the next day, and next week and all summer and the rest of my life, help me to be bold. Help me to realize, God, that you put words in my mouth that I might speak the truth to them. And you believe that, and God will answer that prayer. Would you bow tonight? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? And right now, it's just you in that seat. Forget about the friend there by you. Forget about a husband or wife or a child there by you. Think about who you are right now. You and God, right there in that seat. One, make sure you know him. You see, he brought us all here by divine appointment tonight. You're here, and thank goodness you're here. And you know, you could have stayed home because your pastor won here and some guest speaker was in, but you came tonight. You're here by divine appointment. God brought you here for a purpose tonight. One of two purposes. One, if you're saved, he brought you here to make a real good, fresh commitment to him. Maybe you did this morning. But he's saying, tonight, make a new fresh commitment now toward witnessing, toward sharing the greatest news in all the world. See, he has commanded us to go do it. He hadn't asked you to do it. He's commanded you to do it. It's not a spiritual gift. It's not something that just some people can do. It's something every single believer is to do. It's not a spiritual gift. Witnessing is not a spiritual gift. The gift of the evangelist is, but not witnessing and sharing Christ. So I know if you're saved tonight, you want to do this. You can't be saved and not want to do it. I know you want to do it. Tonight, you say, oh, God, help me. Give me boldness. And he'll do it because, man, listen, he wants you to do it. And remember, you can't witness to the wrong person. You can't walk out here going, okay, now, God, I'm going to have to figure out who it is. No. Every single person needs a witness. And as you begin to talk to people, if they know Christ, they'll let you know. And you say, well, great, praise the Lord, we're brothers or sisters in Christ. But if they don't know Christ, you've planted in their heart the greatest news in all the world. And God can use you to win your friends or family members to Jesus, or just an acquaintance or somebody you've never met before at a table, at a restaurant. It's awesome. It's awesome. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, would you pray a prayer? Because I know God's squeezing your heart. You've been brought here by divine appointment. He's squeezing your heart right now, and your heart's just beating inside of you. And you just want to settle this issue. You know, it could be tonight. You're just not real sure. You think you're saved, but you're just not real sure. Listen, nail it down tonight. Nail it down. So from this point on, you'll never hope you're saved. From this point on, you'll never think you're saved, but you'll know you're saved. See, 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that have believed on the name of the Son of God, that you might know you have eternal life. God wants you to know you have eternal life. So tonight, pray. If you're in doubt, pray. Settle it. And if you know for certain you don't know him, pray and invite him into your heart. Let me lead you in a prayer, okay? Just as we did this morning, very simple. Just pray this after me. It's not the words that save you. It's the attitude of your heart. But let me guide you through some things that Scripture kind of teaches us. There's nothing in the Scripture specifically that you're to pray to be saved. There's just a lot of illustrations. And here's a prayer. Just pray this with me tonight if you want Christ to save you. Just pray it silently right where you are. Just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing me here tonight. My heart's crushed inside of me right now. I know what I need to do. I want you, Jesus, to save me. I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of faking it. Oh, I want to be real. I want to be set free. Thank you for convicting me of my sin. And I want to be honest before you right now. Come into my life. Wash all my sins away. Give me eternal life. And in a moment when we stand to our feet, Lord, give me the boldness to walk forward so that these here will celebrate and rejoice with me. And I thank you for hearing my prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was obligated and wanted to move into your life. He has washed your sins away. I don't know how that happens. But the Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. He's done it. He's washed your sins away. You're forgiven forever and ever. And he says he wants it to be public. He wants us to show what we've done. There's never an illustration of salvation in the Scripture at one public. That's why they know all these numbers. Pentecost, 3,000 got saved. Well, they didn't read the minds of people. There were 3,000 people that made some kind of public declaration. The next chapter, 5,000 were saved. I mean, it's on and on and on. People responded. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do in just a moment, because you're going to be coming as other Christians come. And you Christians, listen, tonight, right where you sit, would you pray a prayer and just thank God for those maybe right now in this room that have prayed that prayer of repentance? And thank God for that. When they come forward, celebrate with them. And ask God right where you sit to fill you with His Spirit, to renew within you this desire to go share with others. You know how to pray. Pray right where you are. Just say, oh God, stir in my heart. Stir in my heart and give me a sensitiveness to people that I need to talk to. Pray it. Ask Him. Oh, He's waiting to hear from you. Pray and ask Him. Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies. It's not for somebody else. It's for you. Man, it's for you. It's for every single one of us in here. Every single one of us. It's not for others. It's for me. It's for you. And I want to be obedient. And Ask Him to fill you up and put words in your mouth. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. As soon as I say amen, we're going to stand to our feet. Michael, lead us. But don't worry about singing, folks. Just commit to God. Some of you can commit right where you are, but this altar is once again open, and it is so neat. Wives, grab your husband by the hand. Say, let's go to the altar and make a fresh new commitment. Husbands, take your wife. Take your children. Say, let's go to the altar and make a fresh commitment to be braggers on Jesus this week and the rest of our lives. Oh, some of you single people need to come and just say, oh, God, help me. Help me to be full of you. Use me for your glory. I'm going to pray. As soon as I say amen, we're going to stand to our feet. As soon as your legs get straight, would you come to this altar? Come. Commit yourself afresh tonight. If I can do anything, if I can pray with you, please come and let me pray and talk to you. Father, thank you for loving us, for speaking to us, for helping us understand afresh and anew who we are and what you're doing in our life. I pray for those that prayed and asked Jesus in their heart tonight, God, let them come quickly and let me pray and praise the Lord with them. And God, for those that are believers, let them come in Jesus' name. For your glory, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.